16. I was accused of reckless driving. I was where I should not have been, and it was raining, and found out later that the brakes on the car were bad, but that didn't excuse the speeding or the other conditions that were happening. And so I was given a ticket for reckless driving, and so when my court date appeared, my father dropped me off at the front door. He said, I looked at him, I said, you're not going with me? He said, no, I didn't commit the wreck. And I'm like, wow. I didn't even literally know what I was doing. Like, I didn't know where to go. When I stood before the judge, when he called my name, the question was, how do you plead? As they said here. To be honest with you, I didn't know there was options. Like, I was like, is there another option for me? Because, I mean, I hit the guy in the back end so hard it broke his bucket seats. I mean, it just demolished his car. I was in an old Oldsmobile 444 barrel, which probably explains the speed. And, I mean, I just tore his car to pieces. So I'm like, I'm guilty, right? Like, it's just you hit a guy in the back end, that's what's happening. So I don't remember what the fine was. In those days, it was huge because I mowed grass for a living and, you know, it was just not a lot of money. And so I remember walking over there and thinking, this is a lot of money, right? Like, I paid everything, you know, all the money, the court costs, all this kind of stuff, you know. When I got back in the truck, my dad said to me, I didn't go in there with you because I wanted you to remember this day. And I'll tell you, that day's been almost 40 years ago, and I still remember it. You know, this is interesting. As the Word of God plays out, we find some interesting things that was depicted for us here today. The Bible gives us some information that is helpful to us as we move forward. First question we may ask is, who is the judge? In this case, they wanted to know, is there another option for a judge, or do I want to be before this judge? Well, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 50 and verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Psalms 98 and verse 9 says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. The fact is, each one of us will one day stand before the righteous, perfect judge of the universe. And what's wonderful about him from this standpoint is no mistakes. There's no hidden evidence. There's not something that will come out later. He knows it all. Well, maybe you would say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not going to stand before a judge, am I? The truth is, we will. The Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So whether we want to try to get out of it some way or another, the truth is, we're going to stand before a judge. Well, wait a minute. Why would I stand before a judge if I'm not guilty? Well, you could try pleading not guilty, but can I tell you what the Word of God says? The Word of God says we're all guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the fact is, we will have to say, I'm guilty. Well, maybe we would say, well, I'm not really that bad. Maybe I did break one law. Is that okay? Well, the Bible says in the book of James, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Can you imagine that day if I would have stood before the judge and I hit the guy in the back end, I was guilty of that. But let's imagine that when he said, okay, you're guilty of reckless driving, therefore you're guilty of murder. And he just went on with these charges and said, I sentence you to 100 years. Wow, that would be kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. But see, the Bible says that if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. Okay, well, I'm a pretty good person. Maybe I could work off whatever it is I need to pay. Or maybe I could just get rid of some of these things along the way. No. See, the Bible says all that we're all gone out of the way. They're all become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The truth is, even what we think is good is not good. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, when we get to heaven, if you get there, you're going to get there on the finished work of Jesus Christ, not on your own merits. Because if you could work your way to heaven, if you could, heaven would be, frankly, a pretty disgusting place. Or as my grandson says, a pretty disgusting place. Why? Because we would all be bragging. We'd all be boasting about how we got there. No, we're not going to get there that way. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Okay, so I'm doomed. That's the only answer. I mean, if I'm automatically guilty and if there's nothing I can do to pay for it, I'm doomed, right? Well, yes, except, except for the wages of sin or the judgment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we've mentioned this already today, but that literally is the very essence of Christmas. We can't always understand it, but Jesus Christ, perfectly God, He was God, came and robed Himself in flesh and lived a perfect life and died on the cross of Calvary to take my place. By the way, it would kind of be a slap in His face to say I could work my way to heaven when He did all that for me. Okay, so you're like, okay, Pastor, wait a minute. So the judge that I'm standing before sentenced me and then took my punishment? Yes, that's the picture that was depicted here. Yes, Jesus said that I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word repentance simply means changing my mind about how I'm living. In other words, I accept God's definition of what sin is and how I'm living. I don't try to make excuses. I just simply agree with God, His assessment of me, which is not good. Colossians chapter 2 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened, or He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That list of rules that was against you, God took care of it, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. All right, so what do I do? Well, you simply accept the gift. Again, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Imagine if the character here said to the judge, well, judge, let me come work for you. No. It's a gift. I just want to give it to you. Well, isn't there something I can do? You can't do anything for a gift. There's quite a few gifts under our tree at home. When you buy for 21 people, that's what happens, right? And I made a little video yesterday for some of my kids, and the Hefners and I share a number of grandkids, along with our two wives. But anyway, Spurgeon is the youngest of Dan and Sarah's little boys. He's 3 and a half? He's 4. Yeah. Anyway, he said yesterday, ooh, that's Papa. I miss him. He's got gifts under his tree. He's assuming that some of those gifts are him, and he would be assuming right, right? What do you do for a gift? You just accept it. Because that's why Jesus came. And I go, Pastor, does this offer have an expiration date? It does. It does? Yes. When's the expiration date? I don't know. But I will tell you what God says. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. James, book of James says, whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. When is the expiration date? I don't know. Yesterday, we got emails from two different of our church people about friends of theirs who passed away. Your day may be today. Am I trying to scare you? I'm really not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you, I don't know when your expiration date is. But I do tell you, you have one. Because it's appointed unto men once to die. Hymn writer wrote a beautiful song. I'm not going to read all the verses. But the song says this, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and ask admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Enter. Bid him enter while you may. The truth is, our precious Lord would love for you to bid him enter. And if you'll come to him, the Bible says he will in no wise cast you out. That's it. It's pretty simple. Jesus came to die on the cross to pay for our sin. My sin, your sin. All of it. Completely. And there's nothing you can do to earn it. You simply have to ask him for the gift. And whether you're watching online or whether you're here in this auditorium, I want to tell you, that indeed would be the very best Christmas you could ever have. You would really understand about Christmas. I'm not saying it's wrong to get together with family and have Christmas presents and the music. I'm not saying any of that's wrong. But what I am saying is it's really centered around the babe in a manger that came to die on the cross of Calvary, resurrected for our victory. That's what it's really about. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just quickly this morning. What a powerful story this is, but it's a story rooted in the truth of God's word. I just want to ask you this morning, are you in this room or maybe online when you say, Pastor, the truth is, I've never accepted that free gift of salvation. Maybe you're arguing with yourself to say, well, I'm not sure I'm guilty, but the Bible says you are. The judge says you are. And so therefore, if you're going to be standing before that judge and he has declared you already guilty and he's given you the reasons why, wouldn't it be wonderful to say, Judge, I accept your free gift? That's what he's asking for us. And if you this morning would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've never accepted that free gift, but I'd sure love to this morning. We would love to pray with you. We're not going to embarrass you. We'd love to pray with you. And then if you're interested, we'll let you be connected with someone who can answer any of your questions. Anybody like that this morning? Say, Pastor, I've never accepted that free gift, but I would love to this morning. Anyone in the room? Anyone else? Anyone online? There's an email there, info@ebckingsmountain.com. We'll get back with you as soon as we possibly can. I'm going to ask them to play just quietly here. Would you just ask the Lord to work in your own heart, please?